Amen. Well, good to see you tonight. Good to see the sun shine. Amen. I long to see the S-O-N shining on the other side, though. It'd be a lot better than this. If you have your Bible, don't you turn with me. Start with tonight. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, 12, 13. No, chapter 12 be fine. I'm trying to close this thing out. I know that before we pray, I know at times somebody says, you know, you kind of repeat a lot of things, but you know what? I found this out. Repetition is good so you don't forget. A few minutes at a time you hear it on Wednesday night or Sunday morning or whatever it may be is not a long time for what we're studying. I'll tell you this, there's a whole lot more hours put in studying than there is presenting it. And it's a joy in my life now as I get Sunday side of life to see what God is really capping the understanding of years of study. And we're trying to close this out. We've been studying a number of weeks about the blood, the importance of the blood, and why God used blood. And we're fixing to see the final goal. And what's blessing me now this week and next week, and if it take a third week, fine. It's blessing me now to see that we're living this side of Calvary in the age of grace. Life has been going on probably a good 6,000+ years. And we're at the edge now to see God's final goal, what he saw when he started. And we've had the privilege not only to see what the end is going to be, that God has revealed from the spiritual world into the physical world using words. Did you know the only thing we have about learning about God is words? Words. And God gave man a will so man could understand God's will if he wanted to. And one of the fascinating things the last little while I've been seeing, that God bless my heart, is this. To see how God brought this about over the last 6,000 years, and we don't know how much longer we've got, but how God has brought all this about right in the back door of Satan. And Satan been involved trying to disturb and distort the things of God, and yet God right in his presence doing things, I'm sure he must be confused all the time. Because every time he thinks he gets upper hand, God just steps in and does something else. So we have words. Now, words are important because, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we understand. Jesus Christ is the expressed word of God in flesh. This is God's living, written word to tell us about the living word. And if we don't use words to teach ourselves with, we won't learn. And God is going to show us that as we finish this thing about the blood, what's happening not only with Christ in heaven, but what we're supposed to be doing here now. And it's not necessarily you do it if you want to. It's a command. We do it, and we make the choice, and whether we do it or don't do it, it's not going to hinder what God's doing, but it's going to see whether we are involved with his work or not in the age of grace. I believe God has let us live at this time, in time, for the purpose that what the church is supposed to be doing right now, we should be involved with it. Not just to come and relax and enjoy, but to say, Lord, what can I learn enough that I can help someone in that? Where's the job next week at break or lunch, or where someone may ask you a question? Is there enough in your life? I know I remember asked years ago, a person asked, is there enough evidence in your life as a Christian that you'd be convicted if you tried? That's an amazing thing. Here is tonight, before we start, I want to look and read a few verses in Revelation, then we're going to go back into Hebrews. Father, again, we open this book, Lord. We approach it reverently, and we approach it to you by the Spirit of God. And Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, your voice in our heart that reveals the Trinity and the plan and purpose, Almighty God. And we want to yield to him. Not only do I have this and weeks of yield to study this, but we want to yield to listen. And as I try my poor way, but a Johnson County slang, teach in words, may it not just hear words per se in the sense of how they sound, except what they mean. And in turn, Lord, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Well, we don't have that in the next few years, more so than ever before. Man's not going to be able to face what he has to face and take the stand that needs to stand until we see your wonderful face. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to start here, first of all, in Revelation. I'm going to look at read verse 7 down to a few verses. And verse 11, end up at that, and then we'll make some comments. Notice, if you will, the scripture says, and there was war in heaven, and I may not read paraphrase over this, just get this for the sake of time. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Now, Michael is an archangel. He is referred mainly to the nation of Israel. He is a defender and also a prayer answering from God through Michael. And you see that in the book of Daniel and other places. Each one of the archangels had a certain place, and it really amazes me when you break these out and find what you can find and then put it together and know that Gabriel and Lucifer, which is Satan, and Michael, the three archangels that the Bible talks about in heaven. And so here Michael, this time, is at war against the dragon. And the dragon fought in his angels, and he didn't prevail. Verse 9 says, and we're going to find who the dragon is, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, it always amazes me sometimes how God puts emphasis. Sometimes he don't want us to miss who he's talking about. And here it is, Casey, you know, if the dragon, who's that? Well, that's, we talk about, well, that's the old serpent. Well, what is that? Well, that's the devil. What is that? Well, that's Satan. If you really want to know his name, Satan. If you want to get technical, his name is Lucifer. So it's like sometimes God said, and then suddenly he said, well, here's how it is. So you don't miss it, you know. So he goes on, and then he says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength. And watch these words. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Everything that God has promised from the beginning now is fixed to come to a head. All that he's done for 6,000 years up to now, and I don't know how long this left, when he begins to see this take place, is going to come to a head. And he says a few words that covers the long period of time, which was his goal when he started in Genesis 1. And before that with the angels. And notice he goes on and he says, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses him before our God day and night. I'm glad I've got the Lord Jesus set at the right hand of the Father to intercede for me. And you want to be too. When I read that, ladies and gentlemen, do you think that Satan accuses of something he don't know that's happened? You think Satan's fool enough to accuse us of something that would be false? I'll guarantee you when he goes to the throne of grace and accuses us, he's found something that would stand up and want for Christ. Satan's not a fool. He's not going to go up there and try to deceive God. He deceives us, but he can't deceive God. So when he gets up to accuse us, everyone, you look in the mirror tonight and you see yourself and you say, if Satan accuses me today, it's going to be something that I did, whether I knew it or didn't know it, because he's not going to go to God and accuse us of something I didn't do. God will know that wouldn't work. So it helps me understand why I need Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father as a child of God. He don't mess accuse his own. Why? He's already got them trapped. You know why he's accusing us? Because he's trying to deceive us, and he's deceived us in doing something, whether we knew it or not, and in turn he's accusing us because that's how he goes back to get at God the Father. Listen. He knows enough already he's doomed, and he knows the record enough that he's doomed. It seems like joy he may get is come back and accuse the Father or accuse God's children who, through his children, get back at the Father or to God, which is our Father. And so he says here, accuses them before our God day and night. Now, that's in the back of my mind of studying that if he does that day and night, and by the way, to be able to do it day and night and do it like he does, there must be some things, even as a child of God, sometimes don't actually do like God says do all the time. Let me ask something. If you've got a brother or sister, certainly a little smaller than you are, they don't generally run to mother and dad and talk about something you didn't do. They talk about things you do. You know what a tattletale is? They run and tell you what you did do. Amen. And sometimes they'll blow it up a little more. You did it, but he blowed it up worse than you did it. And I think Satan does the same thing here. I think he certainly, when he goes there, he really starts out, and then suddenly Jesus is there. He's the one who's our lawyer. He's the one that helps us, and you're going to see that before we finish this. Now watch. Now I like verse 11, because here's where the power's at. He said, and they overcame him. How? The saints of God overcame him. How? By the blood, watch, of the Lamb. And isn't that interesting? Not any blood of the Lamb, not any lamb. We've been studying enough about this. You see, this is summation. And we ought to go back and be, I've said it enough, it'll be in your mind. When you read these things, you get them in line who they are so you can understand the climax is fixing to happen here and know why all this has happened. Why has Jesus been here for come 2,000 years ago and been bringing the church? Why did God deal with Israel like he did? All of this is leading up to a summation now. To see, all of that is God's goal and plan to get a people. Thank you, Lord. For instance, you take you and I. God gave us a will so we could accept his will, and yet he will not force our will to accept him. Now, here's the thing. It's going to be a blessing when we get there on the other side. Because God's going to say this to Satan. Listen, I gave them a will. And I presented the facts. And I dealt with them for all these years. And in the age of grace where we're at now, I gave them a will. I gave them the facts. I did have the representation at times for them to hear. There were times this book was open and taught as accurate as it could be taught in the flesh. And I want you to know, watch Satan. Before he casts us into the lake of fire, watch Satan, hear of all these people that you see with me now came because they wanted to. I didn't force a one of them. They came because they chose their will to believe only the record that I gave of my son. That's all we have. Words. Words that many times, that's the reason why. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then words, Satan can distort. But with the Spirit of God hid in us, which is God's voice for us, as we understand that which he inspired his word, helps us see the truth about that spiritual world that the world can't see. You know what all the world sees about spiritual worlds? Ghosts and goblins and what's that guy? Movie about all the demons and stuff. Potter, or something like that. What? Harry Potter. Yeah, thank you. I'm lapsing a little bit. But all that stuff, that's what we think about. And they make money off of it. But isn't it amazing they can take and make millions of dollars off of a lie and won't believe the absolute truth won't cost them a thing. It's hard to understand that. So what? He said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and watched by the word of their testimony. Now, I said the other night, the missionary brought this up, and it's a good thing because we're going to have last Sunday, we talk about soul winning. But I've said, you know, we can do a lot of things and present the word of God, but you can't do any better than your own words. Why? They overcame by the blood. That's their victory. But also by the word, watch, of their testimony. Your testimony can be a tremendous thing sometimes by telling someone how you got saved if you get a chance to show them the plan of salvation. Everyone's not the same, but at least that's a door opener. They can get an idea. That's the reason I believe God taught. All this book tells us not only are we to be busy in a lot of things, but we're to be busy with our words. And when our words are spoken, our life must back them up. It may be reasons why we don't speak as much as we do because our lives may not back up what we're saying. Amen. I'm just being nice. And notice I said we. You know, that includes Barbara, Mrs. Ennis, and myself. Say, ladies and gentlemen, it's where we live at. This book is alive, and it's where, and everything in it God has given us so we can know some things. And he goes up on his head. And they love not their lives unto death. Isn't that amazing? They were came by the blood and by the word of their testimony. And they didn't even care whether they lived or died because they knew we're in God's hands. They come to the place now. The reality is more than just a show. It's a reality. And then watch what happens. Therefore, rejoice, heavens, and ye that dwell in them. The only ones that could do that is angels did not fall, and they don't know anything about redemption. So he's got to be talking about the redeemed who are there. Watch what he says. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and of the seals of the devil is come down unto you, and having great wrath. In other words, Satan now is really leased up. He's really gung-ho. He's got everything disposal, and he knows, I don't know how, but it's time for him to realize at this time, his time is short. And boy, he wraps it up. And I'll never forget the best thing I saw that years ago, and I've told this, I'm sure, but it's like, it's kind of, to understand that for me, when I play basketball and baseball, and I play one year baseball, but it amazes me how we'd get, you know, we'd be maybe behind 5 or 6 points or something, and that last minute, that last maybe 2 minutes, you just give it everything you got. Why? This game's going to soon be over with. You either win or you don't win. And if you're going to do it, you better do it now because it's going to be over with. And that's what Satan's going to do. He knows it's soon going to be over with. And he's doing everything that he can at this time. Where's it at? It's on the earth. And he said, I saw him cast out and persecuted the woman. Now, what we've been seeing, we've seen the value of all of this is that God is satisfied now what his son did. He's satisfied in working out in the age of grace. God's law has been satisfied. It amazes when I think about this thing of salvation. Jesus Christ made it possible for us to have an experience with God through the new birth. And the law is that given to show us why we need the new birth, because we're doomed and damned without the new birth. The law shows us that, the activity that the law does to us because it's broken. There's a curse on us, and God removes the curse. So now God's law has been satisfied. How's that going to help us? Well, when the day comes, we stand in the court of God at the beam of seat of Jesus Christ. God's law cannot curse not a one of us who've been born, because we could not satisfy it, but Jesus did. And the fact that he did is when he died and was buried, he didn't just stay there. Every lamb, which he said could not take away the sin of sins to start with, we'll see that in the book of Hebrews, but every lamb that had been given before died and was buried or cut up and ate and was buried later in somebody's body or something, as they had nutrition and so forth, they couldn't go no further. So there is no hope from those lambs except where God put to cover. But when Jesus Christ came and was buried, he died, our Passover lamb, and was buried, and he rose again. Therefore, by his resurrection, it proved he satisfies the law. If Jesus Christ hadn't rose from the dead, we might have hung it up. Because why couldn't his blood save us? No, because the resurrection was important, because that's how he came by high priest. You see, we not only, and I go back and rehearse to bring us a point, we not only need a lamb, but we need a high priest. And we can't use the lambs in the Old Testament because they die, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep dying, and they keep dying. We can't use the priests of the Old Testament because they die also, and they have to be do things to get them in line to do their work before they can do the work for Israel. But when Jesus Christ came, he was already in line. Amen. And when he went to Calvary, and when he died, he rose again, where no priest, and we're going to see that a little bit later, he rose again so that that he would handle and do the things for us he needed to do at the right hand of God. So when Satan does accuse us before God, he's there to defend us. And he does, by the way. Amen. I'll show you that in a few minutes. Now, what happened, believers in Christ have been justified forever. And the blood speaks for it. Now, when I read this, I wrote down years ago in my Bible when I read and studied this, and when it said out that they, that is the tribulation saints here, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of testimony, and I wrote down, this is our victory also. Because it is. By the way, you and I can only come to overcome Satan by the blood of Christ and the word of our testimony. I mean, we have to say sometimes, Satan, get thee behind me. And if Satan said, well, why? I'm much stronger than you are. I say, no, but you're not strong enough, stronger than my Lord. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what I'm going to say right now, but if you hang around much, I'm going to find out what I got to say, and I'm going to use it on you. This is my weapon. By the way, it better be your weapons. You're no match for Satan. I ain't either. I ain't even. Sound like Mayberry, doesn't it? But what I'm saying to you, God is. And this tells us about who he is. And the Holy Spirit lives in us, who's more a match for him than we are. And that's where he'll lead us. He'll lead us right where we need to go when it comes to the scriptures to help us out. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at some things. We're talking about words now and learning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a moment. And I want to start reading by verse 14. And I want to take these slowly. You know most of these verses, but I want to take it slowly because we're talking about words, ladies and gentlemen. They're the vehicle that God uses to bring truth to us and then lets us analyze it and say whether I want to believe that or not believe that. You have a right to do that. If we don't believe the right thing, then we suffer persecution for it or suffer loss, whatever it may be. Maybe just a loss of some kind. If we do the right thing, God has said there'll be blessings. Doesn't mean you won't be tried. Won't be, you'll be tested, but the end results are going to be a blessing for that. And so we come down and begin to look at this. Now watch. Here today, we hear a lot about God's love and God's mercy and God's blessing and what is political right, but you don't hear but hardly anything about the blood. Listen. And when they talk about God, you know, most people, we don't even know what God they're talking about. If a person talks about God and don't talk about the God of this Bible, I don't have no time for it. I can speak correct English. I don't have no time for it. Right? There's no use to it. This is the God we trust. This is the one we follow. Now, watch these words as we go through. I love this. Listen to verse 14. Take it very easy. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That forces or helps hold us back to do what we know we need to do. Why? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, wait a minute. The world looks at that and is confused. If one died for all, we'll also be dead. Well, if we're all dead, if we are dead, and it means physically, why are we worried about it anyhow? So it can't mean physically. So I got to go back, and I began to look at Scripture. Had talked about the spiritual side. Where I was dead, Ephesians 2, in trespass and sin, God quickened me, now I've been made alive. So I'm understanding now, he's talking to us who are saved, and he's had to lay a little more emphasis other than he did Romans or Ephesians, because this was a carnal church he had to really get down where they lived at and explain it. And he said that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If God saw fit that one would come and die for all, then if he died physically for all, we wouldn't die. But he said he died for all, that we, watch how he put it, he said that if one died for all, then all were dead. But if he died for all, why would we have to die? But he said the reason he died for all, y'all were dead. Well, if we were already dead, why would he have to die for us? That's physically thinking. That's rational thinking with the mind. But we know those who have been dead in trespass and sin have been quickened, made alive unto God. So we know there's a spiritual death that took place in Adam when he and Eve sinned in the garden. So that's what he's talking about. He's letting us know we may be walking around here with good health physically, but if you're not saved, you're spiritually dead before God. That means God has no access to our heart. Why? Jesus is not in our heart, nor are we in Jesus, the body of Christ, if we don't know him as Savior. So he goes on, watch. And he said, and if he died for all, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Wait a minute now. He died for us that we could have the privilege to live, but because he died for all don't mean that all are going to have that eternal life. And this verse shows us who are the, what's that? Who are those they that should, that which live should do something? Who are those that they which should live? The believers. Amen? You got to know who that is. You can't just, see, the world looks at the scripture and they throw everybody in the same pot and they look at rapture the same thing. Am I to be raised the same? God gives the ability for the child of God to dissect these things, to understand in words, as we dissect the words, and understand at the time what he's saying, what it means with the other scriptures adding to that. And he said that they which live should, that is, I believe, those who that he died for all. John 3:16, God so loved the world, amen? And he died for all. But who are those that would live spiritually? Jesus said you have to be born again, John 3. Maranatha, I say you must be born again. And he tells us how that happens in John chapter 3. Watch. Not henceforth live unto themselves. Now, they which live in Christ, hey, you're not to live for yourself anymore. That's selfishness. We have a new person on the block. The Holy Spirit moves in. And notice he said, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We're not to live for ourselves. We're to live for who? Him who died for us. And watch. And buried, yes. Well, if you leave him there, there's nothing to live for. But notice what he said. And what? Rose again. Oh, man, folks, does that just depress you? Dude, well, sure not. I don't know. I guess, I'm sure glad there's no camera on me when I'm studying this, I'll tell you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is words, and that's where we need one. By the way, every sinner that we try to witness to, if we get a chance, we need to give them words. We need to tell them words. And when I'm given to them, not just quote words, but from the scripture, read words. And God will do the rest then. Watch now. Now, so I understand verse 15. Wherefore, listen now, since this has happened, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Now, wait a minute. Jim, when I got saved, doesn't mean that I don't know you by the flesh. So I say, there's no way I'd be around you not know a little bit about the flesh. But wait a minute. He just told us something inside had taken place. Something inside has happened to us. We've got a person that moved in, the Holy Spirit of God. We've been born into the family of God. Now when you look at a person, let me tell you something. You know why Jesus Christ wept when he went into the city of Jerusalem? Because he saw the hearts of those people. And he knew their destiny. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you understand the destiny of the unsaved, you'll weep some too once in a while. He that weepeth, God tells, he blesses and brings souls. Sometimes you have to weep over it. By the way, you say, well, I would. I'll tell you this. If you don't, you may weep over some of your loved ones sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm glad I quit just reading casual the scriptures, but in detail. Every word is a morsel of bread from God. And let me get it in context, Lord. Let me get it just where it needs to be so this feeble mind that's so weak and hard to learn can get it. And he says, it goes on. He said, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Well, we did know a little bit about him. We weren't there, but I've read his history. I know what he... about in 33 and a half years, in the last 3.5 years, I know a little bit about him flesh, about his flesh, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that I can know more about him than just what happened 2,000 years ago. Because, listen, I can read about him coming and dying, what he did, 3.5 years. It's tremendous to read his story, but that's historical records God has kept. And he died and rose and went to heaven. That's good. But, ladies and gentlemen, what I need to know is now, what is he doing right now? That's history 2,000 years ago. I'm living in the 2015-16s. Right? I read about that, but that enhanced me to know what is he doing right now in my life as a child of God. And by the way, it should be yours. Only if you're saved would you see that. And he said, know Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. I love that. That helps me now. Hey, we knew him after the flesh. Back then, Paul really didn't know him. He just like... The other disciples, God took him 3 years over in Asia Minor and taught him. He wasn't with the 12, but he certainly was added later and had 3 years with Paul. God did, teaching them the things of God. But they did see him literally. But we see him through faith in historical factors, what they saw to some degree. But I'm glad now, in this age, in grace, 2,000 years later. I'm glad September 27, 1959, I really saw him now. What is he doing right now? Man. By the way, when you got saved, that's when you saw him, if you truly got saved. Now, don't you think it ought to be enough that if you got that day that you got saved at the family of God, that you, that would be something that when Christ came into your heart, then God put us into the body of Christ. Christ tells us. And by him being in our body, now, don't you think if I had learned that God would draw me through the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God to be saved, and I got saved, don't you think now I'd want to know more about him since I am saved? You know what? I think sometimes Christians are afraid. He might ask them to do something they don't want to do. If you ever done anything for God, there was time you ran. There was time you ran. There was time you looked for avenues out. And aren't you glad he didn't show you what you had to go through when you went? Because if you did, you probably never went where he wanted you to go, whatever to do. And so he goes on, and he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, henceforth, he said, know we him no more. In other words, I read about this. I'm so glad I can read and understand a little bit about the 3.5 years of his life, birth, when he was 12 years old. I'm glad the historical life. But I'm so glad that he left this book so I can see more for my age. Because this book will fit any age, no matter where we're at. So when I see this open, watch, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, watch this. If any man be in Christ. Now, I stopped there when I read that, and every time I do, I look. Therefore, because what he said about knowing Christ, about being with Christ, understanding Christ now, understanding how he's in you, you've been saved. Then he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. If any man be in Christ. You see what he's saying? You better be sure of it. Better be sure of it. How do I know that? I put out beside of this, see 2 Corinthians 13:5. And I've done this many years ago. But watch this. Look in verse 5. You know what Paul said? When I see, he said, if any man be in Christ, the reference I looked at is actually 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul said, examine yourself. You remember quoting this a few weeks ago? Examine yourself. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate? See how God puts it, folks? Words. Are you sure? Examine yourself. Look at the scriptures. Have I done? Thus saith the Lord. Have I? And put those scriptures down. That's the reason we leave some of the Lord. We lay these scriptures out and give to them and say, you need to read these and keep reading them. You have questions, go back and read until you're assured that this is something in your life. Because Satan, Satan will try his best to catch that word away when you get off your knees after trusting Christ as Savior. So he said, examine yourself, see you in the faith or not. Why? Lest you be a reprobate. Lest you be one that has a perverted mind that deals with speculation and not the approval of God. And that's the reason I say, I feel what my heart is broken so much when somebody say, are you? Oh, yes, I believe in the Lord. You do? Yeah, I sure do. Well, the Lord's been good to me. Well, tell me about it. Well, God's been good. Let me tell you what happened 4 or 5 years ago. And they're always talking about some event in their life, but they don't say one thing about what Jesus said about being born again. And I say, but have you ever been born again? Well, that's your thinking. I know when God is on my side. Well, I'm glad I'm on his side. See, it don't take long. And folks, you know what? When you hear someone like that, you think somebody said, well, you just think you're proud. And your heart will begin to crush, and you'll feel things you just never thought you'd feel because you say, Lord, the only thing I've got is words. That's all I've got. It's words. And it has to be back. And that's the reason I have so many times, son, read from the scriptures then. Read from the scriptures. And those words will be affecting because my word will not return to me void. Your word may scatter everywhere. And it may be good to give examples at times of things and testimony. That's good. That's reading they gave. It came overcame with the blood of his blood and also with their own word testimony. But watch, we said, if any man be in Christ, watch this. He is a new creature. all things are passed away. And then he said, behold, take note, all things are become new. And that's the reason I believe. I was headed this way, even religious, on the road to hell. And when I got saved, whew, God turned me around. But I didn't move for a fast start with. I felt good. I did join the church. I was baptized before I wasn't even baptized. And still joined the church. And now little steps. Little steps. Little steps. And you know what? The little steps, all of us can follow along pretty good. We all experience that. Those little baby steps, Christians. And then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge. And we get away from the playpen. And we grow a little more. And then suddenly we begin to take some bigger steps. And bigger steps. And bigger steps. And next thing you know, you're so overwhelmed with what you find. God had brought you and raised you up to a point to teach. And then you find, wait a minute. Nobody's listening. I'm lost somewhere back here somewhere or another. And that's the reason you take so much time. So much time. To be sure you cover it in such a way that a person at least, if one gets it fast, fine. But if one doesn't get it fast, we wait for you. And by the way, God showed me a long time ago, always we've got people who have mature and who have not. You've got babes in Christ, and you've got different ones at different levels who are growing. So when you have to preach a message like I'm doing here, you have to ask, Lord, help me say what I need to say to cover all bases. A spiritual babe, ones who have just been saved a little while, a little more maturity. Give me something that a person can chew the meat of God's word maturity-wise. Because they don't need the milk of the word anymore. But if they can't use the word that they get and not use it, God said they need to go back and be taught the milk of the word again. And he goes on. And he said, he is a new creature. All things pass away. Now watch this. All things are of God now, who hath reconciled us to himself, watch, by Jesus Christ. Reconcile what I just said. He means he changed us thoroughly. It actually is to change us and settle us and to bring harmony into our life in relationship with God. Because we have peace with God now, so we can have the peace of God in making decisions. I don't ever have to worry about having peace with God anymore. Jesus Christ established that peace for me and for you. But I have to have the peace of God all the time. Whatever it is. Is this peace of, have I got the peace of God for what I'm fixed to do? Have I got the peace of God who I'm going to marry? Have I got the peace of God if God wants me to have children? Have I got the peace of job for this peace of God if this is my job? Have I got the peace of God today? Peace of God should be in everything. Because that's the only thing passes understanding and gives understanding. And so he says this. And he said, get rid of to himself by Jesus Christ. And notice it is by Jesus. And had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, there's this again. I'm talking about the climax of all we've seen in this last few weeks about the blood of Christ. He says now, we are a new creation, and God has given us, who is the us? It's those which would live up in verse 15, those who've been born again. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the question would be, Lord, what is that ministry? You turned me around. Can I just go through life and people see my life? No, sir. The next verse said, what is that? To wit or witness. That's got to be what I'm out. Words. Watch what he said. To wit that God was what? In Christ, reconciling the world that he loved to himself. Now, I could get that pretty good, but the next phrase throws a lot of people. God was in Christ, reconciling the world, changing the world, notice as he talks about this, to himself. And it's by, or you could say in, Jesus Christ. Now what's the next words though? He says now, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that's a continuous thing. It's in present tense. If you're truly in, if you receive Christ, he lives in you, and then God places us into the body of Christ, which he's the head. And so since he's the head, he's telling us simply here that at this time he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. That's the whole gospel story about Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There are going to be some verses of Scripture, you know, at least if you don't know anything quote Scripture at all, it'll be where you can go to that you can lead someone to the Lord. And notice he said, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That is, Satan can argue and he can accuse all he wants to. But Jesus Christ is an intercession. We'll see that. We get to that right now. We're coming to climax all of this. And he said, God's not going to impute your trespass against you. Well, if that be the case, then aren't some Christians getting by? Nobody gets by. Now, listen, folks, don't let Satan dupe you. Nobody gets by. If we don't be what we need to be as a child of God, we will still suffer loss in this life, and things will come later when we stand before the beam of seat of Christ. We'd wish that we had never occupied in this life. Because if we don't have it under the blood of Jesus Christ, then there is a means, and we live in age today. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's our mind's being clouded. Well, mainly we think if I don't know about it, it don't matter. Did you know I find that God teaches us that I am responsible not only for what I know but what I don't know. You know why? Because it's here. Now, anything God don't have here, I'm not responsible for. And I'm not responsible for what I say because I don't know one thing about it. But when you get saved, I'm responsible for it now because I have this book, and I have the Holy Spirit, which is God's word from heaven living in us, or is God's voice from heaven living in us and telling us about this book and what our lives should be and promoting us in this particular life. Now watch. Oh, boy, time's gone. Look, if you will. He said, not imputed them to trespass on them, and had committed, there he goes again, to us the word of reconciliation. Now, there's the situation. That word is the word logos. It is setting forth the expression of a thought. God said, if you're saved and understand what I'm talking about, you are an ambassador. In fact, he goes next and says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, God beseech you by us because we are ambassadors, and God uses his ambassadors in this case to beseech the world, those in the world, by his ambassadors. And he said, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now why can that be done? Because for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I love this, the expression of that thought, the word of reconciliation. That says to me that I can do a lot of things. I can do a lot of things. I write letters. I send cards. I send tracts. I pass out tracts. But if I do that and don't use my mouth, I'm not doing anything much for God. Because he said, I'm an ambassador. I need to get the literature for people I can't get to. But God, I want to realize that I need to talk to someone if I get the chance. Because that's when God says, I'll use you to reveal more. Did you know? I've said this before in reading a tract, and I thank God we got tracts. And by the way, you want to have tracts. You want to have them passed on where you go. But if you get a tract and read it, and reading that tract, probably if a person is not in some type of trouble or down or in some kind of situation, they read it and just throw it away. About the only time God will really get somebody problems when they're in trouble and they think, this might help me. Come on, help me out now. Yeah, you've been saved long enough to know. Now, then again, they may throw it down. I heard a situation one time where a tract was given out and it was raining a little bit and the guy looked at it and he got in the car and was going to lean and look back and God threw it down. And then we heard later that it went down the street for a long ways, water rushed it down the street somewhere, and the guy was going to cross the street and picked it up and looked at it and he got saved. That can happen. God can use a tract, but most time it's when a person's at a place in his life that he needs something he don't have and no one else can help him. And God brings him into thinking of that, and then he looks at it, and most of the time he'll go somewhere or another and ask someone to explain it to him. I've heard people say before, you know, I got this tract in the bathroom somewhere, and I looked and I went to a preacher or somebody I knew or my family, and I asked them, what does this mean? See, that's the reason he said words. That's words. Now, interesting enough, if you will, I was going to go over to Hebrews, but I can't do that now. I wanted to show you what's happened here today as we talk about the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ makes us all possible But the resurrection makes Christ to be able to do for us now as our high priest. And God, listen to me, folks, and I'll close this thought, but God's throne of judgment has become God's throne of grace to all who trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And I want you to know, we truly are saved by the blood of the crucified one. And you remove Christ's blood out of the formula, and the throne of God's grace becomes the throne of God's wrath and judgment to the whole world. You move God's great Christ's blood out of one's life when it's presented to them, then the throne of God's grace becomes still the throne of God's wrath and judgment. But when one reaches out by faith and receives it, the throne of God's grace is the throne of God's grace. And we're safe and we're secure. Father, Lord, I wish we had more time. I hope this next week, as we close this thing out, Lord, we're approaching now what you said for us on this earth, and we're moving towards the heaven. We're going to see what happens when Christ sits at your right hand and the things that's done. And Lord, please tie the knots together, because we've been through a whole lot for the last year and a half. And now, Lord, we're trying to make a consummation of what's going on. We're trying to come up a conclusion to put it together and see your mind a little bit. Lord, you're so much beyond us, but I'm so glad you're willing to pull back the shades of glory from the spiritual world and bring into this physical world your activities and what you're doing, so we can, by faith, accept it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but with faith, it's a subject of things hoped for, as ever the things not seen. Honor yourself through it, Lord, in our lives. And help us this year in 2016 be more than just a churchgoer. Maybe pass out tracts everywhere. And then, Lord, if we go to a place somewhere or another sometime, we've passed out 10 or 12 already, and the proprietor says, hey, I appreciate you doing that, but don't, if you won't put so many out, because we go into trash can. Lord, we have to be wise in what we're doing. Maybe give to an individual. Lord, we want to be wise because we want to honor you. And we want to be the vessel in your hands. And I've said so many times, Lord, may be like a glove on a hand. May we be your glove with a voice. And when they see the glove, they'll know there's a hand there. And pray that when they see our lives and hear our voice, that somehow or another you would use that situation for your word to reach their heart, to save their soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.